And greetings, friends. This is Herbert W. Armstrong with the good news of the world tomorrow. And now, continuing, what's going to happen to the United States? I've been showing you that the United States, with, of course, the people of the British Commonwealth, is mentioned more places in Bible prophecy than any other nations or any other peoples. The Bible is actually our national book. The Bible is the Word of God, God's revelation to mankind, but it is also the book of Israel, about Israel, by Israel's God. And we are the ones who have been the real custodians of it, the ones who have printed the Bibles and have scattered the Bibles in all the languages to every nation on earth. Doesn't it seem strange, my friends, that we who are the real custodians of the Bible, we who are the real disseminators of the Bible, we who have more Bibles and a larger percentage of our people have Bibles than in any other nation on earth, the real heart and center of Christianity, wouldn't it seem funny if we were not mentioned in biblical prophecy? When you find nations like Egypt and Ethiopia and Syria and nations like that mentioned directly by name, and others by the symbols of their ancient ancestors, such as Russia, and nations like that certainly mentioned, as every Bible student knows, in the Bible. Well, we are mentioned, and as I've been showing you, my friends, more often than any other people. More often than any other people at all. You still need to write in, if you haven't gotten it, for this booklet, United States in Prophecy, to learn where we're mentioned in the Bible, to get the proof of the real identity of our people, because in Bible language and in biblical prophecy, you find that the nations today are not mentioned under their modern names, like United States of America, or like Russia, for instance, or Turkey. The Turks are the descendants of Esau, who was Edom, and you find them mentioned as Edom or Esau by the name of their ancient progenitor. And the Arab people today are mentioned as Ishmael because they are descended from ancient Ishmael, the son of Abraham. And so we are mentioned by the name of our ancient ancestors and also by the people from whom we have descended and who we are in this generation. Well, get the booklet, United States in Prophecy. It'll be proved and made very plain to you, the most astounding thing you ever read, if you have not yet gotten it. We now enjoy here in the United States the greatest prosperity, the most lavish material and national blessings that have ever come to any people or any nation. And the reason is not because of anything we have done, but because God Almighty promised these blessings to our forefather, Abraham, way back there, my friends, more than 3,000 years ago. And we have what God promised unconditionally to Abraham. Now, either God had to keep that promise to Abraham, or God is not faithful. That promise had never been fulfilled in the Jewish people. It had never been fulfilled in the Israel of old, of the Old Testament. But it is fulfilled completely in us today. But my friends, we have received this because another man obeyed God, because Abraham kept God's commandments, because he obeyed God, kept God's judgments, his statutes, his commandments. Yes, way back there, 430 years before Moses, before the Old Covenant, before the Levitical priesthood. And so we have received these blessings because of that. I tell you, my friends, this world has certainly forgotten God, and we have no conception of the kind of blessings that the eternal Creator, yes, the Creator of all forces and powers and of all laws, of what He can do and what He does do, will do, and actually does do to the one or the ones who will really yield to obey Him and to follow His ways, to think His thoughts, to do His ways instead of the ways of mankind and the ways of human nature, the ways that seem right to a man and the ways that have been built up in this world. If you try it, you'll find out by experience. I know that by experience. And we should all know it because we all share these blessings. But what are we doing with them? We are certainly not really glorifying God. We say that we glorify God, yes, as God says in some of the prophecies about us. Our land is filled with churches, and we make mention of God in our prayers, but not in real truth and not from our hearts and not in real obedience. We've departed from him and his ways. We're doing the ways of the pagans, and we call a lot of it Christian, falsely. Now, God is going to punish, because the ways we have been going, as I've been showing you recently in these recent broadcasts, have brought nothing but heartaches and headaches and fears and worries and empty lives and suffering, untold suffering to our people, until our land is filled, as I've said, with hospitals and insane asylums and with prisons and jails and everything of the kind. And there's so little happiness over the world today, and especially so little in our land. And the things that we're doing, my friends, are not satisfying. Now, I know we get busy in the whirl of this world's entertainment, and we kid ourselves we're getting along all right, but there comes a time when most of us wake up and realize our lives are empty. We're not happy. And the things we're doing, and even the religion that most of us have, is not satisfying if we're honest enough to look down deep into our own hearts. Clear down deep. We wake up and realize it isn't the real thing. But there is the real thing available. Well, God is going to bring us to our senses, because the way we're going, I've been showing you, our people can be wiped out without warning. The weapons are now available, as it has been officially proclaimed, to wipe out, to destroy an entire continent without warning. And we're living in such a world. Now, what does lie ahead? What is going to happen? I've been showing you that God says we were chosen for a mission that we have refused to perform. And so God is going to punish us. God says he will show forth his glory in and through us, and he will. He's going to bring us to our knees. If we will not repent voluntarily, if we will not return to God, God is going to punish. The individual who will return to God will not have to be punished. God will protect and will save any individual through all of the trials and all of the tribulations that are coming on this nation and on this world. And we're heading into it now, while like a foolish ostrich we stick our head in the sand of burying ourselves in entertainment and amusement. And we spend hours and hours a day drugging our minds with nothing but foolish worldly entertainment, many of us. And it's about time to wake up. And we're not taking seriously the times that we live in, the world that we live in, and what's going to happen. And these things are absolutely sure, as certain as the rising and the setting of tomorrow's sun. Now, we've been going through the 30th chapter of Jeremiah. I've shown you that Jesus Christ said a great tribulation is coming, a time in which no flesh would be saved alive except God intervenes to shorten those days, but he will intervene and shorten them. And also back here in Jeremiah, it's a time of trouble that's on us. It's the time of Jacob's trouble, and that means us. But we're to be saved out of it, because, as you read now in the 8th verse, once again, I've read it a number of times. Let's go on now. I want to cover a lot of ground in this present program. I want to refresh your minds. Here it is, this 8th verse again. On this day, says the Lord of hosts, it shall come to pass in that day, this day that is a trouble, a day so great, the greatest trouble that has ever come on any nation any time, spoken of by Jesus, Matthew 24:21, spoken of by Daniel in Daniel 12, verse 1. That in that day, says the Eternal of Hosts, that I will break the yoke from off their neck, that's our neck. There's going to be a yoke on our neck. You find who lays that yoke in Isaiah 47, verse 6, and it is a power yet to rise up in Europe, and we are building that very monstrosity, my friends, that very Frankenstein that biblical prophecy says is going to rise and destroy us if we don't repent and return to our God. Listen. God says that he, and this is Christ speaking really, I will break the yoke off their neck, and I will burst their bonds, and strangers, that's Gentile nations, other nations, shall no more make servants of them, but they shall serve the Eternal their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. Because it's coming at the very time of the resurrection, and David of old is to be resurrected and to be the king over all of our people. Now, in Daniel's prophecy, let me just give you a little of that real quickly and real briefly. I want you to notice Daniel speaks of this time of trouble. As Jesus said, a time of trouble so great that it's a great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, known or ever shall be. The greatest time of trouble of physical national trouble that had ever happened in the history of the world. Now, Daniel speaks of that same thing, that same time of trouble, the 12th chapter of Daniel, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince that standeth for the children of thy people. And that Michael is the archangel Michael, who is the archangel who looks over our people, the United States. We'd better thank God there is a great archangel watching over us and many other angels under him. Listen, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. You see the same time of trouble, the greatest that has ever happened in history? And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life. The dead in Christ will rise first at the second coming of Christ. Now it's the coming of Christ that is going to remove that yoke from off our neck. And every prophecy in your Bible, my friends, and I'm in another broadcast or two, I hope to summarize and just read them one after another. There are literally many of them in your Bible. And every prophecy in the Bible shows you that our people are to be in a condition of slavery and captivity at the second coming of Christ. He's going to rescue us from that. We are going to have learned our lesson. We're going to then have found the way to peace, the way to happiness, the way to a full, abundant life. The way to real joy. And we're going to turn to God's ways. And then we're going to be the top nation of all this earth. We're going to be the top of all the nations as long as humanity exists on this earth from that time on and forward. Now, here's this greatest time of trouble that ever happened. And in the 30th chapter of Jeremiah, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. The greatest time of trouble that has ever happened. It's a time of war and not of peace. It says in verse 5, it is the time of Jacob's trouble. And that's us, the United States and the British. If you don't understand that, get this booklet, United States in Prophecy. It will make it very clear who this is speaking of. It's speaking of us. It's not speaking of the Jewish people. Listen. But he shall be saved out of it. We're going to be saved out of it because, as I read to you, it'll come to pass in that day, says the Eternal of Hosts, that I, and that's Christ at his second coming, will break the yoke from off their neck, and I will burst their bonds, and Gentiles shall no more make servants of them. But they shall serve the Eternal their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. Now, do you see, my friends, that that very, very plainly says that our people are going to be in that kind of condition at the second coming of Christ, at the resurrection, the time of trouble such as never was just prior to the second coming of Christ. It is the great tribulation, and it's the time of our national trouble. Now, we're heading into it. And my friends, there's only one protection, there's only one security, and this is the most terrible thing that's ever come. It need not come nigh you. I'm giving you the warning. I'm showing you the way to escape it. And if you want to just escape by running now from hearing the warning, my friends, you're going to run right into it, right head on. So I say, listen, God has prepared a way of escape for everyone that will turn to him. God is merciful. God's mercy is greater toward us if we will fear him, if we will obey him, if we will realize he is our Lord and our God and that his ways are right. His mercy is greater toward us than the heavens are high above the earth. Listen, let's go right on now. Then fear not, O Jacob, my servant, says the Eternal. Now, this is verse 10 in Jeremiah 30. Nor be dismayed, O Israel. Let's say then, O United States and O Britain today, because that's who it's talking about, and it's for our time now. This is a prophecy, as I've shown you in many other prophecies, that tie right up with it when all of our cities are to be destroyed. And in the ancient captivity of Israel, that never happened. And it is not happening to the Jewish people. It never did. It never will. This is speaking of our people. Listen. Then fear not, O Jacob, my servant, says the Eternal, nor be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save you from afar. This is a thus saith the Eternal. I know you don't hear much of this, my friends. You aren't getting this kind of thing. Why is it most people overlook one-third of the whole Bible? One-third is prophecy. Why don't you hear more sermons on it? Why don't you hear more preaching about it? Does this sound fanatical? Does this sound different because you never heard it before? This is the Word of God. It's in your Bible, my friends. Open your Bibles and see it. Because I know that the natural tendency of a public listening to this sort of thing will be to take it lightly, scoff, and say, oh, we haven't heard that. My, nobody knows it. No, they don't. God help us then to wake up, my friends. This is coming. And God Almighty is sending you this warning, and you'd better listen. Now he says, "Fear not, O Jacob, my servant," that's us, "nor be dismayed, O Israel," that's our people. "For lo, I," and it's Christ really speaking, "I will save you from afar, and your offspring from where?" Where are we going to be? From the land of their captivity. That's at the second coming of Christ. My friends, the ancient Israelites and Jews are not still in the captivity that they were in way back there 600 and 700 years before Christ. They're not still in that captivity. They've been released from that centuries and centuries and centuries ago. But this shows that Israel is going to be in captivity when he comes. And it's a nation. And it isn't just the Jewish people. It's our people too. Listen. "I will save you from afar and your offspring from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return and have quiet and ease." And the prophecies all show, and what this means and what other prophecies specifically say, is to return to Palestine, the land that God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But not just little Palestine alone. It includes everything over to the Nile River in Africa and the Euphrates in Asia. "And none shall make him afraid, for I am with you to save you, says the Eternal. I will make a full end of the nations among whom I scattered you." We're yet to be scattered among them. "But of you I will not make a full end. I will chasten you in just measure, and I will by no means leave you unpunished." God is saying that to the chosen people, my friends. God's saying that to us. Are we going to listen? Or are we going to say, "Oh, that sounds a little strange. I never heard that." No, you haven't ever heard it, my friends. I ask you, why? Why have you not heard this? This has been in your Bible ever since it's been written. This was written 600 years before Christ. These words have been preserved in writing for over 2,400 years, 2,500 and some years. Why haven't you heard this before? "For thus says the Eternal, your hurt is incurable and your wound is grievous. There is none to uphold your cause, no medicine for your wound, no healing for you. All your allies have forgotten you. They care nothing for you." You know, Russia was our ally in World War I. Do they care for us now? But we loved her enough to give her plenty. When will we wake up? When will we realize these are in your Bible, these words? They have been there all this time. You have a Bible, haven't you, in your home? If you haven't, you better go get one. These words are in your Bible. Turn to it and read it. Jeremiah 30 and verse 14. "Here I am." Listen. "For I have dealt you the blow of an enemy, the punishment of a merciless foe, because your guilt is great, because your sins are flagrant." But we say, "Well, we don't sin. Why, we're a righteous nation." So we think. But not in the eyes of God, my friends. "Why do you cry out over your hurt? Your pain is incurable because your guilt is great, because your sins are flagrant." God Almighty says to his true ministers, cry aloud. Don't lull people to sleep with nice little poetry and soothing songs and things that tell you people, "Oh, you're wonderful people. Oh, you good, wonderful people, you. You are the best Christians in the world. Oh, yes, you go right ahead of the way you're doing. You're just doing so fine." Is that the kind of preaching you want to hear? Someone said to me just last night, "People don't want to be preached at." All right, then, you're going to take God's punishment. Take your choice, my friends. You can take your choice. Because I'm preaching what God Almighty tells me to, not what you want to hear. Listen, God says, cry aloud. Don't say it with a soft, weak whisper, but thunder my words at them. Lift up your voice. He doesn't say pull your voice down into a soft little sissy whisper. Not at all. No, sir. But he says, let the people know and show my people their sins. And because your guilt is great, says God here in verse 15, because your sins are flagrant, I have done these things to you. Therefore, all who devour you shall be devoured. But we're going to get devoured first, and then they're going to be devoured. And all your foes, every one of them, shall go into captivity. Those who despoil you shall become a spoil. All who prey on you will I make a prey, for I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal, says the Eternal. Because they have called you an outcast, it is Zion for whom no one cares. You know, my friends, I think it's about time we realize that we are not very well liked or loved in the other nations of the world. You know, we like to think we are. Well, you go to the other nations of the world. Go over through Europe. Go over through Asia. Go into Africa. Go down into South America, and you see whether the people really love us or not. You know, it's about time we were disillusioned. Verse 18, thus says the Eternal, behold, I will restore the fortunes of the tents of Jacob, and have compassion on his dwellings. The city shall be rebuilt upon its mound, and the palace shall stand where it used to be. Out of them shall come songs of thanksgiving. This is after we've had our punishment. This, my friends, is after we've learned our lesson. Listen. The voices of those who make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. And I will make them honored, and they shall not be small. Their children shall be as they were of old, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all who oppress them. Their prince shall be one of themselves. Their ruler shall come forth of their midst. And I will make him draw near, and he shall approach me, for who would dare of himself to approach me, says the Eternal. And you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Behold, the storm of the Eternal wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Eternal will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his mind. In the latter days, you shall understand this. It is to come to be understood in the latter days because it's a prophecy for now. Now, in the King James translation, in the latter years, you shall consider it. It's a prophecy for now, my friends, for our time now. Now, that ends the 30th chapter. Let's go on into the 31st and see if we can make a little more progress now. Now, at that time, that's at this same time, continuing right on, says the Eternal, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Eternal, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness, in this captivity. And Moffat translates it, in the dungeon. When Israel sought for rest, the Eternal appeared to him from afar. In other words, we finally will cry out to God. Finally, we're going to realize that these ways that we think we love, these worldly ways, these entertainment and amusement ways, these wrong ways that are drugging our minds, that are dissipating our bodies, that are ruining us and driving us the way of ancient Rome, we're going to find them. They've been taken away from us anyhow. You know, my friends, I've known many individuals that had no use for God until they got to the place where they thought they were going to die or they lost all they had. And they were helpless. And then they cry out and they scream, oh, God, have mercy on me. Yes, people get shipwrecked once in a while. Or they're on a raft, lost from an airplane out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Apparently no hope, no help. People that sneered and scoffed at God. People that wouldn't listen to this kind of talk before. No, they'd rather tune in something that will, oh, just some jazz music or something amusing and entertaining. But they get out there and then they begin to cry out to God. All those things are gone then. But they know that God is there, and they cry out to God. Yes, they do. And God hears and rescues them. And he'll deliver you if you ever come to the place where you recognize God and cry out to him. You've got your personal private troubles right now. Why don't you go to God with him in prayer? If you really throw yourselves on his mercy, if you really will surrender to him and to obey him and give yourself to him, I don't care what your trouble is or what your problem, God will solve it for you and bring it out right. That's the God, my friends, that is our God. It's about time we wake up and begin to know him. At that time, says the Eternal, I'll be a God of all the families of Israel. They shall be my people. The people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. When Israel sought for rest, the Eternal appeared to him from afar. I have loved you, says God, with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Again I will build you, and you shall be built, O Virgin Israel. God says to us, the United States, the British people. Again you shall adorn yourself with timbrels. You shall go forth in the dance of the merrymakers. Again you shall plant vineyards upon the mountains of Samaria, which was our ancient capital, not Jerusalem, but Samaria to the north. And planters shall plant and shall enjoy the fruit. For there shall be a day when the watchmen will call in the hill country of Ephraim, arise, let us go up to Zion, to the Eternal our God. And Zion really means the church, but it's the true church that Jesus said that he would build. Now, continuing on, verse 7. For thus says the Eternal, sing with gladness for Jacob and shout among the chief of the nations. Yes, Jacob, the chief of the nations. Is that the Jewish people? Are they the greatest nation in the world, the chief of the nations? No, but we and the British are. Listen. Publish ye and praise ye and say, O Lord, O Eternal, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. That's the last generation, 20th century A.D., right now in our time. Behold, says God, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, her that traveleth with child together. A great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. That's speaking to us about our people. Hear the word of the Eternal, O ye nations, declare it in the isles afar off. That's the British Isles. Listen. And say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Eternal hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. I wish I had time to read you the same thing practically in the 50th chapter of Jeremiah. Here it is in the 4th verse. In those days at that time, saith the Eternal, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah, that's the Jewish people, together. Going and weeping, they shall go and seek the Eternal their God. They shall ask the way to Zion. Their faces thitherward. My people, God says, have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray, but now they're going to come back. They're going to repent. They're going to learn the right ways of God. And then he says, I will bring Israel again to his habitation, verse 19. And he shall feed on Carmel and Bashan. His soul shall be satisfied with Mount Ephraim and Gilead. In those days and at that time, saith the Eternal, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. The sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. When Christ comes, there will be no more sin. He's going to put an end to it, and we will have been forgiven, and we will have learned our lesson, and we're going to still be the top nation on earth, and we're going to learn happiness and joy forever once we really learn our lesson. But my friends, the individuals among us who will learn it will be protected. Those who don't are going to get this punishment until they do. And for our own good, God just going to spank like every loving parent punishes his child. God punishes and chastens all that he loves.